from Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles, Missouri. Here's Dr. Van Lees.
In this text, Paul uses an illustration of an olive tree. There is one olive tree, one root, and a trunk which supports the branches. The root and the trunk of the olive tree, I think, are best understood as representing the covenant community, our church of the old covenant into the new, along with the promises of God which were given to the patriarchs. Think about the promises given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They would form the root of the Old Testament church.
Grace is God's loving favor given to those He saves. We don't deserve it, nor can we earn it. But if we are to live eternally with Christ, we must depend totally on God's grace. Welcome to God's Amazing Grace, the radio outreach ministry of Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles, committed to growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This week, Dr. Van Lees brings the first half of the message, One Covenant Community, Part 2, as we continue our series in the book of Romans. In the time of Jesus, it was common for Jews to view themselves as God's chosen people, based solely on their ethnic heritage, and see Gentiles as sinners and unclean dogs. However, the description of the olive tree in Romans 11 underscores the biblical notion that what truly made a person a partaker in the covenant promises of God was faith in the Messiah. We see this truth illustrated throughout the Old Testament as numerous disobedient and unbelieving Israelites were cut off from the covenant, while Gentiles who truly believed in the God of Abraham were grafted in. Well, this pattern is more strongly reinforced in the biblical record of the growth of the New Testament church. How does Paul's metaphor of the olive tree express the biblical truth of one covenant community throughout history, comprised of Jew and Gentile, all redeemed by faith in the Messiah? The scripture text for today's message is from Romans chapter 11, verses 17 through 24. Here again is Dr. Van Lees with today's edition of God's Amazing Grace we've entitled One Covenant Community, Part 2.
Turn with me to Romans chapter 11. We are continuing our Romans series and looking at the next section in Romans 11. Going to pick up this morning in verse 17, where Paul gives the illustration of the one olive tree with the natural and unnatural branches being broken out and grafted in. And let's pick up there. But as some of the branches are broken off, and you being a wild olive were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right, they were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will He spare you. Behold then the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity. But to you, God's kindness, if you continue in His kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you are cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more shall these, who are the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your covenant promises, the community of faith that You established throughout the Old Testament, and the new covenant community of faith comprised of Jews and Gentiles who believe in Christ. We thank You for the grace we have been shown that those of us who are Gentiles have been grafted in. Pray that we would never presume upon that grace, but see the extent of the mercy we have received. In Jesus' name, amen. In our study of Romans chapter 11, we have observed a present tense emphasis throughout this chapter. In Romans 11:1, when Paul raises the question, I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he? He says, may it never be, for I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, no, he hasn't rejected all of his people. He said, I'm a Jew and I'm saved. And then Paul points out the illustration of Elijah in the time of the Old Testament, that when Elijah was in a moment of despair, he said, Lord, they've torn down your altars, they've killed your prophets, I'm the only one left. And God told Elijah, I'd reserve for myself 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal. And Paul says in verse 5, in the same way then, there's also come to be at the present time a remnant according to God's gracious choice or God's gracious election. So again, there is a present tense idea at this time. There is a remnant that is being saved. After speaking of God's mercy and election and justice and reprobation, he points out that there is a reciprocal effect between the salvation of Gentiles and Jews. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, elect Jews become jealous and desire the blessings of God given to the Gentiles. They come to salvation and then become a blessing to the church as it becomes one community of faith comprised of the redeemed Jews and Gentiles. In that context, Paul also has a present tense emphasis in verse 14. He said, if somehow I might move to jealousy my fellow countrymen and save some of them. He's talking about his present ministry at that time. This leads us to our text today. It would be very easy for Gentiles who had been redeemed and seen many Jewish people not believing to become arrogant toward Jewish believers. And Paul presents an illustration and makes an emphasis not to be arrogant toward each other or toward God. I want to approach this text by first examining the illustration itself and looking at some of the points of difficulty that critics have raised about the illustration. I think they are really non-points, but you hear them all the time and they come up in various commentaries. And then I want us to apply the illustration not only to the understanding that as Paul is talking about it, but also to our own Christian lives. First, the illustration itself. In this text, Paul uses an illustration of an olive tree. There is one olive tree, one root, and a trunk which supports the branches. The root and the trunk of the olive tree, I think, are best understood as representing the covenant community, our church of the old covenant into the new, along with the promises of God, which were given to the patriarchs. Think about the promises given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They would form the root of the Old Testament church. These are the promises concerning the Messiah who would save his people from their sins. The natural branches are the Israelites themselves, the ones that would naturally grow from that trunk. They are natural because they are descendants of the patriarchs and are born into the covenant community. However, when they did not believe in Jesus as the Messiah, Paul says they are broken off for their unbelief. The unnatural or wild branches are Gentiles who are grafted in when they believe. And Paul gives this illustration to people who are aware of grafting type of activity that took place among olive trees. Often a branch will be grafted onto a trunk, a young branch that was grafted onto an old stock, and it would then draw from the older stock, and the young branch will produce olives. And a couple of points are helpful to keep in mind as we consider this illustration. Sometimes people think of the branches only as individuals. If you do that, then the illustration could be used to argue that a person could lose their salvation. The branches are broken off. They're in and then they're broken off. I think that's not the best way to think about it. If they are understood simply as nations, then it could be argued that all Gentiles or all Jews are ultimately saved being grafted in. Either of those applications could make the illustration confusing and misapply it. James Montgomery Boyce makes the point that it is best to think of the branches as masses of Gentiles or masses of Jews, portions out of those particular communities. And I think that clarifies the illustration. You could have large portions of unbelieving Jews being cut off, large portions of Gentiles being grafted in as they believe. At the time Paul is writing this, most Jews had not believed on Jesus and were being broken off or cut out of the tree. The many Gentiles who were believing were grafted into the olive tree or to the covenant community and receiving the promises of God. Therefore, as far as God's covenant with Israel is in view, Paul says that it is being fulfilled not through every individual Jew or through the nation at large, but through the groups of believing Jews. Now, some of those believing Jews and believing Gentiles would include, the believing Jews would include all the apostles as well as all the early converts we see in the book of Acts. The believing Gentiles, you can think about Paul and Barnabas and Paul and Silas' missionary journeys, or even Peter preaching at Cornelius' household would be some of the Gentiles being brought in. Now, both groups comprise one covenant community or church. And what made a person a partaker in the covenant promises of God was faith in the Messiah. That was not a new idea that Paul is suddenly introducing at this time. All through the Old Testament, what made a person a Jew in the fullest sense of the word wasn't just ethnic descendancy. Wasn't just the fact that they were descended from Abraham or Isaac or Jacob, but the fact that they believed. And in fact, you can think about times in Old Testament history when people were dramatically cut off. Think about Korah's rebellion in the wilderness when the ground opens up and swallows him, and Dathan and the others that rebelled and closes in on them. You could think about the northern tribes, the northern kingdom that went into idolatry. And finally, God sent Hosea, almost like a covenant prosecuting attorney, laying out the case against them, pointing out over and over all the ways they had broken His covenant and departed from Him, and said the land is filled with idolatry. And in fact, in the symbolism of Hosea's children in the book, one is named Lo Ami, which is applied to Israel, which means not my people. And it's applied to Israel, where God says the vast majority of you in this northern kingdom are not my people. And when the Assyrian Empire came in and conquered them in judgment in 722 BC, they transported them back into another area, which was the land of Ur. It's interesting that they were taken out of the land and put right back in the place where Abraham was when he was originally called. It was faith in the promises of God, in other words, the Messiah, that made them keepers of the covenant and partakers in the covenant community. Paul has already mentioned this earlier in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, which is, again, not a new principle, something that ran all through the Old Testament. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. Here's the idea of the circumcision of the heart being used as a reference to regeneration. I think of the passages in the Old Testament where God said, I will circumcise you in heart. Now, Paul has been criticized rather harshly for this illustration. In the practice of olive cultivation in Paul's day, it was the opposite primarily of the way Paul illustrates it. Usually cultivated branches were grafted onto a wild stock. And so as you can imagine, Bible critics have given a lot of attention to that and said, Paul didn't know what he was talking about, and he's using a bad illustration. For example, C.H. Dodd wrote, Paul had the limitations of the town-bred man. He had not the curiosity to inquire what went on in the olive yards, which fringed every road he walked. And now, I think it is interesting that some historians have pointed out that sometimes wild branches were grafted into cultivated stock or roots, that it wasn't as exclusive as sometimes it's said. However, if you look at Romans 11, 24, Paul says, For if you are cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much shall these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? He says this is contrary to nature. It's contrary to the normal practice. He was well aware of the culture in which he lived and how it was done. But even beyond that, Paul is speaking of a spiritual illustration. He's not strictly talking about the rules of the horticulture that were used in the day. And in fact, it's precisely Paul's point that God in His grace has saved Gentiles. It's an unnatural practice. It's an unusual thing to occur. It would not have been the normal expectation of the Old Testament covenant community to see a mass of Gentiles being grafted into that community has occurred in the New Testament time. So this is really an imagined difficulty. I wanted to mention it because it's amazing how many times it comes up. I could have given quote after quote after quote where commentators call Paul crazy and out of his mind and don't know what he's talking about because he uses this horticultural example. And I think, trying to find something out of nothing. But sooner or later, you'll probably encounter someone attacking the Bible on this point. And Paul says it's an unusual occurrence, and that's his very point. So there's the basic illustration. There are several important applications of it. First, since Paul has just spoken about Gentiles coming to faith and many Jews rejecting the Messiah, it was possible for Gentile believers to look with contempt upon the Jewish community at large and also upon their fellow Jewish believers. At first, the tension may have been between Gentiles and unbelieving Jews outside the church. However, there are indications in the book of Romans itself that Gentile believers had developed feelings of superiority toward their Jewish fellow believers. These tensions often went both ways among the two people groups. But, for example, look at Romans 14:1. Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One man has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. Let not him who eats regard with contempt him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and stand he will, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. All of these are speaking of Jewish categories, eating particular foods, observing particular days. In verse 10, But you, why do you judge your brother? Are you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. In chapter 15, in verses 5 through 7, Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. In chapter 11 itself, in verse 18, Do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. And verses 19 and 20, you will say then, branches are broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right, they are broken off of their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. Apparently there was a tension where some Gentiles would look at some of the Jewish believers and some of the carryover of their Jewish heritage that they were practicing and act with contempt toward them. We see also the admonition, don't be arrogant toward them. Charles Hodge comments on Paul's illustration. The object of these verses is to make such an application of the truths which Paul had just taught as it should prevent any feeling of exaltation or triumph of the Gentile Christians over the Jews. Well, how does this illustration drive home this point? Paul reminds the Gentile believers, do not be arrogant toward the branches. Think about the promise of the Messiah, the Old Testament ceremonies and types and shadows and prophecies all came through the Jewish community of faith. Paul is saying to any proud Gentile member of the church, remember that you are grafted in, and it's by God's grace that you share in these covenant promises originally made to the Jews. Don't be arrogant toward them. It is that root which supports you. Our standing as being justified by faith in Christ alone comes only through God's grace and mercy in Christ, and you have received that grace. You who are once pagans and idolaters, you were outside any community of faith, and now you have been shown mercy and grace and grafted in. So apart from Christ, remember that you are a wild olive tree. You are, in terms of the horticultural illustration, you are a worthless tree. You are outside of the community of faith. And think about how that root supports the gospel we have all received. The Old Testament, with all its messianic witness and promises, came through the Jewish community. It was the Jewish scribes who faithfully and meticulously copied and preserved those documents for us. The line of the Messiah was through the Jews. Jesus was a descendant of Abraham through the tribe of Judah, a descendant of David according to the flesh. The gospel came to the Gentiles through the preaching of the apostles, all of which were Jewish men. Without that faithful witness, the gospel would not come to either Jews or Gentiles. James Boyce makes a good application and says, it follows too that when we think about Gentiles, there is no good in Gentile religion. People today think in terms of all religions, bringing their little bit of truth to the whole, each one adding its part. But this is utterly at odds with Paul's illustration. According to Paul's illustration, Gentiles are a wild olive, a worthless tree. Gentiles are saved by becoming true Jews, being engrafted into the covenant community of God, having a heart that is circumcised by the work of the Holy Spirit. Understanding that we are saved only through God's mercy and grace makes us humble. We recognize that we are sinners who deserve judgment, but we've been given mercy in Christ. John Flavel, the Puritan writer, said, they that know God will be humble, and they that know themselves cannot be proud. An important application of this illustration for us is that we cannot look upon anyone who belongs to Christ with arrogance. In every church, there are people who are not like us. We may have a certain doctrinal unity in what we believe together, but we come from different backgrounds, we come from different experiences. But if we belong to Christ, we are all adopted into the same family, and we are commanded to love one another. Joseph Stoll, in a sermon on this I heard over 20 years ago, made the point. He said, we have such a tendency to categorize people and then put them out to pasture if they don't fit our categories.
The Apostle Paul's metaphor of the olive tree expresses the biblical truth of one covenant community of God's redeemed people throughout history, comprised of Jew and Gentile, who received God's covenant blessings not by ethnic heritage, but through faith in the Messiah. Now, for an audio copy of today's broadcast, ask for the message, One Covenant Community, Part 2. You could write to us at God's Amazing Grace, 1111 Moogie Road, St. Charles, Missouri, 63303, or call 636-447-5691. That's 636-447-5691. God's Amazing Grace is a radio ministry of Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles. Dr. Van Lees is our pastor teacher. The church is located at 1111 Moogie Road. You're invited to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 11. Sunday school for adults and children begins at 10, with a Sunday evening Bible study at 6:30. Home Bible study groups, as well as men's and women's Bible studies, meet once a month and are excellent opportunities to build friendship and receive Christian support. At various times during the year, the church also offers theological seminars on such topics as God's sovereignty and salvation, heaven and hell, and the Trinity. The goal of Covenant of Grace Church is to glorify God in making disciples by teaching and equipping the saints and being salt and light in our community and our world. To learn more about the church and the ministry opportunities available, call us at 636-447-5691 or visit us online at covenantofgracechurch.org. And once again, for a copy of today's broadcast, request a message, One Covenant Community, Part 2. Again, you can write to us at God's Amazing Grace, 1111 Moogie Road, St. Charles, Missouri, 63303, or call 636-447-5691. You can also hear today's message anytime over the internet. Just log on to our Real Audio website at accradio.com. Well, thank you for joining us today. And we invite you back next time when we'll once again declare the glory of God's amazing grace.